Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we praise thee and we thank thee, Father, for the opportunity to come together and worship this day. We're thankful, Father, for the land of freedom in which we dwell. We are free to assemble without fear of man, and we pray that you'd keep, Father, these freedoms for us. We know that they come by thy mercy and grace. So, Father, we pray that you'd bless us to ever be free to worship. And, Father, we are mindful of those who are not able to come to worship this day and pray that you'd bless them, supply their needs, Father, restore health when it is pleasing in thy sight. In all cases, Father, we pray that you give grace sufficient for every trial. We ask, Father, that you'd bless our nation, bless those who defend our freedoms, bless those who serve others as fire, police, paramedics, or whatever capacity they serve. Father, there's so many that risk danger in order to serve others, and we pray that you'd bless them. We do ask, Father, that you'd bless the church today, that thy people might be revived and that we might truly rejoice in thee. But just now, Father, we pray that you'd bless us as we study thy word. I pray that you'd bless me to preach the gospel and bless each one of us to hear and to understand. Bless us to walk in obedience before thee, Father, and forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and we'll begin our study by reading verses 13 through 15. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. And this epistle was written, of course, by the Apostle Peter to a people who were suffering persecution. They were in many cases in severe affliction, and his purpose is, in writing is to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to urge them to continue in their walk before Jesus Christ. In this particular passage, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, he says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." And as I said, this this book is written to people under persecution, and all that is contained in here must be seen in that light. And I don't mean to alarm or frighten anyone, but the church in America today faces persecution. Today it is more of a verbal type of persecution, but it is a growing persecution. And if the Lord doesn't change things, it's going to get worse. And we may see actual, literal persecution even in our day. Today the church is simply despised and spoken evil of and things of that nature. It's more verbal. But in this country, it is growing, and in many countries, Christians are under severe persecution. So we need to prepare ourselves for times like that. And that's what Peter is doing. If you'll notice, and I'm not going to go back and read the previous passages, but this chapter begins with admonitions to wives to be subject to their husbands. And then it also talks about the husbands honoring the wife. Now, as I said, that needs to be seen in light of persecution. Why is that important? You know, many times when we are afflicted, when we are troubled, we tend to take our anger and our aggression out on those close to us. We're often troubled by those that we can't reach, so we react to those who are near us. So it is very important that husbands and wives, in times of trouble, in times of persecution, that they honor one another, that they love one another, that they stay strong for one another, that they be careful, that they don't take their hostilities out, their hostilities for others out on one another. But then he gives a general admonition to how we all are to conduct ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Read with me beginning at verse 8. He says, this verse begins with finally, and it doesn't mean that he's about to end the letter, but it is something that is of importance. It's something that we take special note of. And he said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, the Lord has blessed us, continues to bless us. And as Peter says, we're called to inherit God's blessings. We're called to be a blessing one to another. One of the basic principles of Christianity is loving one another. And I've said this so many times that you may get tired of hearing it, but Bible love is not some emotion that we feel, but it's something that we do. It's an action word. We demonstrate love for one another by doing good to one another, by blessing one another. You know, you can say you love someone all day and it doesn't mean much until you show, you demonstrate that you love them. And, you know, one of the reasons the early church grew in such a way, in such a phenomenal way in the beginning, that even though they were persecuted and they went through trials and tribulations, they loved one another. And even the persecutors saw that love that they had one for another. And there were people that wanted to be a part of that love, and the church grew. So that's a good example for us today. Now, verse 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." You want to live a long life? You want to live a blessed life? Walk in obedience before God. And He will bless. His eyes are open unto the righteous. Now, look at verse 13. He asked the question, "And who is he that will harm you if you'll be followers of that which is good?" And some manuscripts, I understand, have, "If you be followers of the good one." If you be followers of Jesus Christ, who's going to harm you? Now, don't take this to mean absolutely that if you're followers of Jesus Christ, nobody's going to bother you. We'll see in the next verse, he talks about suffering. The Apostle Paul says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But who's really going to harm you? You know, they may hurt this old body, but there's something within us, that soul and that spirit of man, that they cannot touch. The worst that people can do is put us to death, and that simply sends our souls to be with God in glory. So, what enemy that is going to come against us that's really going to do harm to us? In the book of Psalms, in the 34th division, this Psalm of David, read with me beginning at verse 11. Again, Psalm 34 and beginning at verse 11. And David says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" He said, this is the passage that Peter has quoted for us. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So here, in general, The Lord blesses the righteous. The Lord destroys the wicked. And ultimately, that's going to be the complete and perfect fulfillment. The book of Proverbs, in the 16th chapter, the 7th verse. God's Word says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." So generally speaking, if we're following the Lord, if our ways please the Lord, He'll make even our enemies to be at peace with us. But again, do not think that that's an absolute truth, that you're never going to have an enemy, that you're never going to have trouble. Because Peter went on to say, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." There's going to be sufferings, there's going to be trials and tribulations, but be not afraid. As the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in the first chapter, Jeremiah chapter 1, as he is called the prophet to speak on his behalf, notice in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, and I understand this is a particular case where God is speaking to this prophet that he called to speak in a very special way, but I think the principles apply to every one of God's children. Jeremiah said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, the Lord didn't ordain every one of us to be a prophet, but the Lord knew every one of us before the foundation of the world. And before you were born, the Lord knew you and had a purpose for you. Verse 6, he said, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Now, that applies to every blood-bought child of God. The Lord is with us. Wherever He sends, He's going to go with us. He's going to watch over us. And He is going to deliver us. Our Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and beginning at verse 10, speaks of the blessedness of those that are persecuted. Have you ever considered how contrary the ways of Jesus Christ is to the ways of the world? The ways of the world would think you're crazy to say it's a blessing to be persecuted. But Jesus says, "Blessed are," verse 10, "blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Why is it a blessing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Why is it a blessing to be persecuted as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Because it's testimony that we're contrary to the world, the lost world. We are contrary to those that will finally be cast away from God. We have the promise, and it becomes evident that we're living in such a way that pleases God when the world comes against us to persecute us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 again, the 15th verse, and this is really the verse I wanted to concentrate on. But the apostle says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." First of all, the commandment is sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And again, the apostle is looking back to Old Testament teaching and bringing it forth into the New Testament. in the book of Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 and 14 is the passage that the apostle had in mind here. Isaiah chapter 8 and beginning at verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So we sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Sanctify God in your heart. Fear Him. Dread Him. When you fear Him, you fear nothing else. When you have that reverence for God, nothing else in this world is going to frighten you. But sanctify the Lord in your heart. Now, what does it mean to sanctify the Lord? It means to recognize God for who He is. Sanctify simply means to set apart. See the holiness of God Almighty. You know, sometimes we tend to humanize God. We think He has those characteristics that we have, that He can be persuaded and He'll change His mind and all those other things. We need to recognize that God is a holy God and God is a righteous God, that God does His will. And our purpose is to honor and glorify Him. You know, when we talk about honoring and glorifying God, we cannot give God anything. We have nothing except what God has already given us. But we recognize God. We attribute glory and honor to Him. We confess that God is holy and God is righteous. We sanctify Him in our heart. You know, that's the real battleground of the conflict between good and evil. That's where Satan attacks us, in the heart, our desires. We spoke in Bible study this morning about the two natures that we have. You know, there's a part of us, we want to follow God. We want to do His will. We want to honor and glorify. But there's another part, you know, I want to do my will. I want to do what pleases me. And you know, that will never work. It will always be a conflict until my desire is His desire. Until my desire is to please Him. And that's the only way we can ever have true contentment and true fulfillment in our lives. That's the only way that we'll ever know peace in our heart, when we sanctify the Lord God Himself and honor and glorify Him. And then, as Peter says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Our conscience will be clear. There'll be a testimony within us when we have sanctified God. It doesn't matter what men say about us. It doesn't matter what they do to us. There'll be a good conscience in us. We will know that we have pleased God. You know, there'll never be a time when we completely and perfectly please God. But there are times that our actions are pleasing in His sight. There are times when He testifies to our conscience that He's pleased with us. And it's a wonderful feeling. It is a feeling of peace and joy. It is an experience of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, great is your reward in heaven, great is your reward in the kingdom. You experience the kingdom when we walk in obedience. That they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. Conversation in this passage means our manner of living. Be sure that when people accuse you, it's a false accusation. Be sure that they don't have grounds to accuse you. be sure that your conversation, your manner of living, is pleasing in God's sight. Then let them speak evil, if we have that good conscience. But we must first have that good conversation in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to give you one more passage in closing, again in the book of 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter, verses 11 and 12. And notice Peter's address, "Dearly beloved." Again, that's a characteristic of Christianity, that we love one another. And Peter may be writing to people that he's never seen their face, but he's writing to believers. And because they're believers, he loves them, and he loves them dearly. So he addresses them very affectionately. And he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." You see, there again is that warfare between that old human nature and that new godly nature. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Finally, even though they may accuse you, if our walk is righteous, they will ultimately have to glorify God. They will ultimately have to recognize that we are followers of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings by our good conversation, by our Christian lifestyle. God will ultimately be glorified. And again, that's what we were created for, to glorify God, to honor and praise Him. So I pray that we'll all sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Glorify and praise Him for Christ's sake is my prayer.